Blog Talk Radio.
There's a place dear to me where I'm longing to be with my friends at the old country church. There with mother we went and our Sundays were spent with my friends at the old country church.
Precious years of memory.
Oh, what joy they bring to me.
How I long once more to be
with my friends at the old country church. As a small country boy, how my heart beat with joy when I knelt in the old country church. And the Savior above, by His wonderful love, saved my soul in the old country church.
Precious years of memory. Oh, what joy they bring to me. How I long once more to be
with my friends at the old country church. My thoughts make me weep, for so many now sleep in their graves near the old country church. And sometime I may rest with the friends I love best in a grave near the old country church.
Precious years of memory. Oh, what joy they bring to me.
With my friends at the old country church.
Well, good evening, everyone, and greetings in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, again today we're opening your word and we're asking the Holy Spirit to come forward to open our hearts and minds to be receptive, that we can receive a greater understanding, Father, and a better revelation of this your word, so that we can grow stronger in faith and in trust, Father, so that we not stumble, but that we can be your children that you can use, Father, to continue your work here on this earth until time for the Lord Jesus Christ to come for his people and his church, Father. Now, Father, be with us throughout this study. May the Holy Spirit now come forth, so that the words are not mine, but yours. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. All right. We're going to be in Mark's second chapter. One other thing I want to let you know about here that's with me. We're on Blog Talk Radio, but we're not on YouTube. I'm having a lot of trouble out of YouTube. All right. Now, getting back here into our chapter for this evening, and we don't really know where we're going to wind up. And I'd say that we're going to be probably, we may get through the second and third chapter both, but we'll see. We never know what the Lord God has for us. All right, beginning with verse 1. And again, he entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noised that he was in the house. Now, you know, the thing about that is, and here in verse 2, and straightway many were gathered together insomuch that there was no room to receive them, no, not so much as about the door, and he preached the word unto them. But you see, Jesus continues to astound and offend by his extraordinary works and the claims that is within his teaching. You know, Jesus comes back now into Capernaum from his desert outpost. And here in verse 3, and they come unto him bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of four. They was four carrying this man because he was in such a state that he was on his bed. So they're having to bring him bed and all. Now four. And when they could not come nigh unto him, they couldn't get close to Jesus for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. They couldn't get through the crowd, the multitude that was gathered around. So they went up on the roof, through the roof, and let him and his bed down. Five, when Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, son, thy sins be forgiven thee. You see, he saw this great faith because they was bound to get this one to him one way or the other, knowing that to get him there, he would be healed. Now, six. But there were certain of the scribes sitting there and reasoning in their hearts. Uh-oh. And all because of that little six-letter phrase. Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. Now these scribes and all are sitting there. They're reasoning in their hearts. Seven. This is what they're reasoning. Why does this man thus speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God only? Now, you see, under the law, that was true. But really, when you come down to it, they really didn't understand the Lord God and the working of him. Eight. And immediately, when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they so reasoned within themselves, he said unto them, why reason ye these things in your hearts? Nine. Whether it is easier to say to the sick of palsy, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, arise and take up thy bed and walk. 10. But that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins, He said to the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, arise and take up thy bed and go thy way unto thy house. One of the favorite of his to identify himself is by speaking of himself as the Son of Man. And we'll find this phrase in the book of Mark 14 times that he will use this in identifying himself. Now, and immediately he arose, took up the bed, and went forth before them all, insomuch that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, we never saw it on this fashion. In other words, we've never seen nothing like this. Now, 13. And he went forth again by the seaside, and all the multitude resorted unto him, and he taught them. You see, he's always teaching. Anytime that there is a multitude around him, someone there's teach, he's teaching. 14. And as he passed by, he saw Levi, the son of Alphaeus, sitting at receipts of customs, and said unto him, follow me. And he arose and followed him. If you've noticed, as we've studied through Matthew, and now here in Mark, every time he tells someone, follow me, there's no argument, because he knows who they are that will obey him and will follow him and do as he asks of them to do. And he knows today who among his children will do what he asks of them to do. Now, And it came to pass that as Jesus sat at meat in his house, many publicans and sinners sat also together with Jesus and his disciples, for there were many, and they followed him. But you know, now these religious leaders and these so-called religious people, they're not going to like that either, because he's eating with publicans and sinners. 16. And when the scribes and Pharisees saw him eat with publicans and sinners, they said unto his disciples, how is it that he eateth and drinketh with publicans and sinners? You see, they don't like nothing he does, because things are to change. And he is getting a people ready for this change that is coming, which will be his death and his resurrection. Also, the coming of the church age. Now, here in 17, when Jesus heard it, he said unto them, they that are whole have no need of the physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. You see, that's why he came. And that is what we are to be about today. When we become that child of Almighty God, we are to be doing exactly what he was doing. And we're going to be coming to this where you're going to see what I'm telling you right now. You're going to see it in his word. Now, 18. And the disciples of John and of the Pharisees used to fast, and they came and said unto him, why do the disciples of John and of the Pharisees fast, but thy disciples fast not? You see, they're not happy about anything. But Jesus has got an answer for them. You're 19. And Jesus said unto them, can the children of the bride chamber fast while the bridegroom is with them? As long as they have the bridegroom with them, they cannot fast. 20. But the days will come when the bridegroom shall be taken away from them, and then shall they fast in those days. He's beginning here in his way of letting them know that he's not going to always be with them, that he's going to be taken away. 21. He goes on and says, no man also seweth a piece of new cloth on an old garment, else the new piece that filled it up taketh away from the old, and the rent is made worse. The rent is made worse. And no man putteth new wine into old bottles, else the new wine doth bust the bottles, and the wine is spilled, and the bottles will be marred, but new wine must be put into new bottles. You see, their bottles back then were not like ours, glass and plastic. They were of skin. Now, you see, their bottles were wineskins. And the old ones, figuratively speaking, representing Judaism, and the new ones representing Christianity. And the old wineskins lose their elasticity and would be bust open by the fermentation of the new wine put in them. Because you see, that wine, when it's first put in, goes through a period of fermenting, and then in the old bottles, it would cause them to tear and to spill. Now, but also, he's making a point that the old faith of Judaism and the new faith of Christianity cannot be mixed, nor can the practice or tradition. You know, the time of fasting, to. Of Judaism before some Christianity. And he's letting them know, no, no, that's not the way it works. As long as I'm with them, they'll not be fasting. But he's using the bridegroom, but it is actually a parable of himself when he goes back to heaven. And as the church age comes into being, then you and I are to fast, yes. Well, Pastor, do you really fast? Oh, yes. Yes, I do. Now, 23. And it came to pass that he went through the cornfields on the Sabbath day. Uh-oh, now they have the field on the Sabbath day. And his disciples began, as they went, the ears of corn. And the Pharisees said unto him, behold, why do they on the Sabbath day that which is not lawful? You see, they're just getting them an ear of corn to eat. But they're not happy about that either. Because on the Sabbath day, under the law, you're not supposed to do any work at all. Well, they're in a cornfield because they was getting them an ear of corn. These Pharisees is taking that as work. 25. Here's his answer to them for that. And he said unto them, have you never read what David did when he had need and was hungered, he and they that were with him? How he went into the house of God in the days of Abiathar, the high priest, and did eat the showbread, which is not lawful to eat, but for the priest. See, there was nobody supposed to eat that bread but the priest. And yet, David and those that he did, and gave also to them which were with him. He letting them know. 27. And he said unto them, the Sabbath was made for man, and not man for the Sabbath. He's putting it to them straight. 28. Therefore, here we go again, the Son of Man is Lord also of the Sabbath. That's the second time now that we have seen the phrase, the Son of Man, made by him. Come to the end of chapter 2, and we're going in to chapter 3. Chapter 3 is not a real long one, but there is 35 verses of it, so we may not get all the way through, but we'll see. We'll see what God has for us and where he takes us to. Verse 1, and he entered again into the synagogue, and there was a man there which had a withered hand. And here we go again. And they watched him whether he would heal him on the Sabbath day that they might accuse him. They're watching, see if he's going to heal this man's hand, because it's the Sabbath day. 3. And he saith unto the man which had the withered hand, stand forth. Verse 4. And he said unto them, is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath day, or to do evil, to save life or to kill? But they held their peace. He asked them this question because he knows what's in and on their mind. And when he had looked around about on them with anger, being grieved for the hardness of their heart, he said unto the man, stretch forth thy hand. And he stretched it out, and his hand was restored whole as the other. They got their answer. He's healed it. And the Pharisees went forth and straightway took counsel with the Herodians against him, how they might destroy him. But Jesus withdrew himself with his disciples to the sea, and a great multitude from Galilee followed him, and from Judea, and from Jerusalem, and from Idumea, and from beyond Jordan, and they about Tyre and Sidon, a great multitude. When they had heard what great things he did, came unto him, and he spake to his disciples that a small ship should wait on him because of the multitude, lest they should throng him. He knows that with them coming so strongly on him, he's not going to be able to do or say much. For he had healed many, insomuch that they pressed upon him for to touch him, as many as had plagues, just to touch him. This is the kind of faith they had, these that were following him. All they wanted or needed was to touch him. We need that kind of faith, but very few has it. There's a few have it, but very few. 10. For he had healed many insomuch that they pressed upon him for to touch him, as many as had plagues. 11. And unclean spirits, when they saw him, fell down before him and cried, saying, thou art the Son of God. And he straightly charged them that they should not make him known. And he goeth up into a mountain and calleth unto him whom he would, and they came unto him. And he ordained 12, that they should be with him, and that he might send them forth to preach. This is his 12 disciples that he will be ordaining. And to have power to heal sickness and to cast out devils. And Simon, he surnamed Peter. And James, the son of Zebedee, and John, the brother of James, and he surnamed them Bogenzerines, which is, their name meant, which is the sons of thunder. 18. And Andrew and Philip and Bartholomew and Matthew and Thomas and James, the son of the Thaddeus, and Thaddeus and Simon the Canaanite, and Judas Iscariot, which also betrayed him. And they went into a house, and the multitude cometh together again, so that they could not so much as eat bread. He's gathered by so many now that they're in a house, but they can't eat. 21. And when his friends heard of it, they went out to lay hold on him, for they said, he is beside himself. His friends was actually worried about him. 22. And the scribes which came down from Jerusalem said, he has Beelzebub, and by the prince of the devils casteth he out devils. Now, you see, they're saying that he is casting out these devils by the prince of the devils. 23. And he called them unto him and said unto them in parables, how can Satan cast out Satan? And if a kingdom be divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. And if a house be divided against itself, that house cannot stand. And if Satan raise up against himself and be divided, he cannot stand, but hath an end. 27. No man can enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods, except he first bind the strong man, and then he will spoil his house. 28. Verily I say unto you all, sins shall be forgiven unto the sons of men, and blasphemies wherewith soever they shall blaspheme. But he that shall blaspheme against the Holy Ghost has never forgiveness, but is in danger eternal damnation, because they said he has an unclean spirit. You see, we have to be real careful of the words we speak, so that we're not speaking against anyone else, but most especially against the Holy Spirit of Almighty God, because there's no forgiveness for that. Think about it. And there is a lot of them out there today doing exactly that. They're proclaiming other religions and things and denying the Holy Spirit. And you see, that word blaspheme means more than just one thing. It means you don't curse him, you don't reject him, and you don't deny him. Because you do, there's no forgiveness for that. Now, so let's be very, very careful in our wording. Now, 30, because they said he has an unclean spirit. 31, there came then his brethren and his mother, and standing without sent unto him, calling him. And the multitude sat about him. They said unto him, behold, thy mother and thy brethren without seek for thee. But listen to this answer. 33, and he answered them, saying, who is my mother or my brethren? And he looked around about on them which sat about him and said, behold, my mother and my brethren. For whosoever shall do the will of God, the same is my brother and my sister and my mother. That is how much love he has for all that are his children. Don't you want to be one of them? Or do you want to continue just following the ways of this world out here and wanting things of this world instead of building treasures and laying them up in the kingdom? Pardon me. Of heaven. Think about that. Think about exactly what you really want for yourself and your family and those around you that you say you love. We are to want the very best for all of mankind. We know all of mankind is not going to accept it. We know we are going to lose more than we're going to gain. But we must be about the work that the Lord Jesus Christ has for each one of us. Think about that. We have come now to the end of chapter 3. God willing, we'll be picking back up with chapter 4 of Mark in the morning. So let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, once again, as we close your word, Father, we do thank you for your word. Because, Father, it is through your word that we can know and understand a way of making heaven our home and how to walk with the Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. And we thank you for both of them, for Jesus and for the Holy Spirit, and for the things that they have done for us and what they are still doing for us daily. And Father, we know that all good things comes from you, but we know, Father, that they come to us through the Lord Jesus Christ, and they are brought to us by the Holy Spirit. Now, Father, your saints, wherever they are, Father, we do pray for them. We ask the Holy Spirit to keep them in health, to keep them safe, and see to their needs. And Father, Israel, Jerusalem, we're told to pray for them and to pray for peace for them. Father, even more than that, we pray for them to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, as the Messiah, so that one day Israel can be known as the land for Jesus. And Father, this land in which we live brought so much evil upon its own people because of the evil leadership we have in our government and in our churches. Father, our nation is in a lot of trouble, which you know. And you know why. And Father, we are praying that the evil be removed from the offices they hold and be replaced with those that love you, that love the church, that loves the Lord Jesus, that loves your people and this country, and will work with us to bring this land to repentance and put our government back upon the foundation in which it was founded, and that being your word in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Father, for all of those of this ministry that is here with me for this study, Father, we pray for them in their health, for knowledge, for wisdom, so that they don't stumble. We pray, Father, that you will let each one of them know what you want of them, so that they can be about the work that you have for them. And Father, I am praying for each one of them. For Kenny Powers, for Dennis Lee, for James Taylor, for Bobby and Millie Johnson. Father, and for Amy and Tom and Jacob and myself. Father, keep us all in your hand. And keep us through this night, giving us rest and bringing us together in the morning and back into the study of your word at 10 a.m. Eastern Time, Father. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. And God bless all. And I pray that you have a good evening. Bye-bye now.